Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Diane B., and I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive eater here in New York. Today is Tuesday, April 25th, 2023. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 77, and we're going to start with the third line down from the top, beginning with our real purpose and ending reading the rest of the paragraph with talk of spiritual discoveries is where we'll stop. The reference number, the readers today. 12 Steps, we have Joanne L. Karen W. with 12 Traditions. Our text will be read by Yvonne A. Page 164, our book is meant to be suggestive only, is Kara L. Backup reader is Dana. Newcomer greeters Christina M. And our announcements are Reggie O. And this is the last Tuesday of the month, so thank you to Team Tuesday for April 2023. The reference numbers, yesterday, Monday, April 24th, 2023, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting was 20,189. And then this morning, Tuesday, April 25th, 2023, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting was 20,191. 20191. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Joanne L., will you please get us started with the 12 steps?
Yes. Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered in Rhode Island. And I'm in my car, and I just got stopped by a policeman, but he said he'd wait for me. So here we go. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us in the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this month. And I thank this nice officer who's waiting for me. Have a great day.
Thanks, Joanne. I hope you're not in too much trouble.
I hope not either. He seems to be very nice. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Joanne. Now we have Karen W. Will you please read the traditions for us?
Good morning. Thank you, Diane. This is Karen W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 6, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be part of Team Tuesday, and I pass.
Thanks, Karen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, please let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And in order to hear everyone clearly, please do not use the speaker function on your phone. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 77. We are on the third line down from the stop, begin from the top, starting with our real purpose. So, Yvonne A., would you please get us started?
Yes, I will. Myself off speech. Good morning. This is Yvonne A., gratefully recovered today in BC, Canada. And I will start us off. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin. Why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message. But our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He is going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries. And this is a hugely important line in the book because it tells us that our real purpose in doing step 9 is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. This is an altruistic program we hear about all the time, getting out of self and doing service to God and to others. And that's what the step 9 allows us to do. We get to clean up our side of the street. Need to try to set right the wrongs that we have done, how we may have hurt people, things we may have taken from others. Maybe we have just, been a huge burden on somebody. There's all kinds of ways in which we hurt others that we actually don't intend to, or some that we do intend to. But this is, we hope to make things right with them. We hope they feel better. We hope we feel better afterwards in clearing the street. But ultimately, this is to put ourselves right with God, as you understand God, whether that is, you know, a God of the heavens and to get in alignment with what those beliefs are, or whether it's the positive energy of the universe and to put yourself on the right side of that street, matters not. It is to make ourselves fit to be on the right side of the road again. And so I'll just share a little bit about my step nine. It was a huge, you know, it wasn't the first time I'd had a sort of pink cloud experience, that feeling of complete joy, filling my heart, of gratitude, of being blessed. But it was the biggest. So not the first, but the biggest. And my experiences, for the most part, were positive, were well received. But I did have one person who did not want to hear from me. And that was okay. It wasn't necessary for me to go in there and say, yep, no, you have to listen to me. I have to do this. No, this is about making things right with God. And God doesn't want us to force anything that is not meant to be. If it's meant to be in the future, then that's something that will present itself. So yeah, we don't lead with our chin. We don't go in and cause more damage by making people uncomfortable with words we may be saying. For me, this is a very personal spiritual journey. I don't share, you know, a lot about my spiritual beliefs unless I'm asked by somebody to share those. And I took that same into my ninth. And that's all I have today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Yvonne, thank you for getting us started. Okay, so I think I am ready now to be taking people's names. Please give me your first name, the initial of your last name. Yeah, and if you want to share, star one to unmute to let us know who you are.
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B.
Ronnie B.
Wow, Ronnie B. I have Wendy B, Bonnie B, Ronnie B. Anybody else? Okay, that's a great place to start. All right, Wendy B, can you tell us where you're from?
Good morning. This is Wendy B, recovered in Arizona. And I just love the line, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. I like the term fit ourselves. It's like getting in shape, you know, to run a race. It's taking actions to get rid of everything that's blocking the goal, you know, of being of maximum service. And it means, you know, I've done my homework. You know, I've let go of any lingering blame and baggage from the past in this relationship. You know, the slate's clean, and I've got to a place of humility where I can speak for the other person's best interest. You know, I've taken the situation to God and to my sponsor and gotten objective feedback on the situation. I've set aside my own agenda and asked God for his will in the situation. I'm no longer pushing for a resolution or forgiveness, you know, so I can feel better. I'm in a place of neutrality where I can wait for God's timing to unfold. You know, I've let go of the self-imposed pressure, you know, that I need it to happen now. You know, I can be sensitive and wait until the other person is ready to receive it. You know, he might need more time to work through his feelings of being wronged. He might need to see a change in my behavior, you know, before he's ready to believe my words. You know, I need to be sensitive and discerning about his belief. You know, he might have a prejudice against spiritual things. I might offend him further, you know, if I bring God into it. You know, I need to be discerning about who I share my truth with, you know, so I'm not giving them, you know, ammunition to use against me. I think that's what leading with the chin is about, you know, being too vulnerable and unprotected. You know, I've had to learn that in my work relationships that, you know, not everyone can be trusted with my vulnerable truths, you know. you know, they'll say, you know, they'll use any weakness, you know, to better their own position, you know. So I'm learning to be discernment, you know, on who I can tell what, you know, and to ask for God's help, you know, to be wise. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy. Next, we have Bonnie B. What state are you from, please, Bonnie?
Good morning, Diane. Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Gratefully retired by the grace of God. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you, Yvonne, for that beautiful lead-in. One of my favorite sentences. Oh my goodness, I have so many favorite sentences. But I do go to this sentence all the time. When I first came into program, I used to say my purpose was to be of maximum service to God and other people. And then someone helped me to remember that I was forgetting that little chunk in between. My real purpose is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and other people, which requires that I continually live in that place of, you know, for me, steps 4 through, well, eventually it's 10, 11, 12, but it's getting 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 on a piece of paper so I can see exactly what I did, what my tendencies were, so that if I did, you know, was directed by God as I did in the men's, to be able to see, what is it? You know, how did I show up? On page 102, it also confirms the same thing. It says your job now is to be at a place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. It's work, right? I have to continually reevaluate. I have to continually ask God, what would you have me to be? And the truth is that I didn't show up that well in the past. And so I get to correct these things. But as Wendy had shared, we pray about when and how, because we don't want to harm anyone else. The word that comes to mind for me is humility. This is what it required. And I did a lot of 9 steps, and there was a lot of humility that had to be brought to the surface in order for me to, you know, approach someone and then sit with them. And without looking at anything that they did, simply identify my part. Toward the end, it says, our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set the right wrong, more interested in the demonstration of goodwill than our talk. And I once heard someone say, the average person doesn't want to hear a sermon, they want to see a sermon. And this big book, you know, what we're taught is that we live these out in our, we practice these principles in all our affairs. And so we always go into this step with the goal being, God, what would you have me to be? And then preferring the other person over myself. That wasn't always what I did. My first time around the mountain, I just wanted to get it off. I wanted to check it off the list. And I didn't do it in God's timing. It was all about me. I just want to check it off the list. So I think this is so beautiful because the goal in the end is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and other people. And that just means keep working the steps. Keep seeking God. As you seek God, if we're honest, he's going to show us what to do and give us the next step. And there will be a lot of restoration in the end. Thank you so much for your service, everyone. I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Next, we have Ronnie B. And Ronnie, where are you from?
Hi, this is Ronnie B., compulsive overeater from Missouri. Thank you for your service. yes, so this there's a lot packed in this little bit of reading. So the first thing I want to say about, for me, for step 9 is it goes back decades. The first amends I ever made, and I took the person from my 8th step list that I thought would be low-hanging fruit. Again, very long time ago, not really mature in the program, but that was okay. That was a stepping stone. And so the brief explanation of what had happened was this is a boss I worked for years, and we were very, very close, and I was on the verge of a promotion. And then he found out his best friend's wife lost her job. And out of empathy and loyalty, without saying anything to me, he was bringing her in, not for my job as it was, but for the promotional job. And I was stunned. People in the company were stunned. My behavior was to do a lot of character assassination, a lot of gossiping, a lot of trying to get people on board with me about gossiping, not wanting them to like the new person. So I definitely didn't have anyone else's interest at hand. So the good news is there was a plan behind that. and God had moved me to a whole new location with a new career, positioned me to be in a great place. So then you fast forward, I'm going through the steps. So I decide I'm going to call him and apologize and recognize the character assassination and the gossip. And I did that. Here was the problem. I had an expectation that he would say, wow, Ronnie, you really shouldn't be apologizing to me. I should be apologizing to you. But instead, he said, wow, everyone, I'm going to tell everyone of this great phone call about you recognizing you're wrong. So to say the least, I was burnt up. And the lesson there was, it was a stepping stone. My lesson was no expectation, to grow in the program and to genuinely have someone else's better interest at heart. And so over the decades, that began to happen. So I was very grateful for that. When I made an amends, the most recent fourth and ninth step was to my daughter, truthfully, because I did not have food neutrality at the time before the program, and I was eating her stuff out of house and home. And so I not only recognized that and talked with her about it and said, God willing, I'll never do that again. I also made that a living amends. And to date, and it's more than 3.5 years later, I've been able to stay in that living amends. And if ever she comes in the house with all of this stuff, and I have a day when I get... Okay, when I don't have food neutrality, I simply reposition myself. Anyway, it's been a great meeting. Thank you for your service. I pass.
Thanks, Ronnie B. Okay, I'm ready to take more people's names. First name, last initial, please.
This is Eileen M.
I can't. You all came in at the same time. I got somebody
Justin
M.
D. Washington.
Hold on. Jason P. in Washington? I heard a man in Washington.
Justin B. Washington.
Justin B. Thank you. And I got somebody whose last initial, excuse me, was M.
Irene.
Just a minute, please. Irene M. Okay. Eileen M. And who's next?
Eileen G. from New York.
Elaine G. Okay, and that's great. Anybody else?
Zach A.
Zach A. Thank you. Okay, let's go there. Eileen M., Justin B., Elaine G., and Zach A. Eileen star 1, please. Unmute.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. I love this this step. When I was doing my ninth step, I found that some people could not be found that were on my list. And, you know, here's the thing is, was I willing to actually do the amends if I was given the opportunity? Because I could not find them. They had moved away. And, that was something I had to really trust God in. God is in charge, really, of whether that person would show up in my life again. I do remember having this woman from OA that I owed amends to, and she had moved away, and I had no idea where she was. And it was really amazing. I mean, God is so amazing because she showed up at an OA retreat that I attended, and I hadn't seen her in 30 years. And, I mean, it was just a great opportunity. I was thinking about how, sometimes, actually I should say the step does say that we do this step except when to injure them or others. And that's really important to look at because it doesn't mean that I just go off and, like someone was saying, try to check it off my list. I did get counsel from other people that had done the step because, I have to make sure I'm not injuring people. And I'm giving a perfect example is like someone I was dating who got married, we wouldn't want to involve somebody else that might get hurt. And then the other thing I was just going to share briefly is that, when I wrote my ideals in the fourth step is that, you know, that's kind of like, you know, we think about amends as we're changing our behavior, so we're not going to repeat the same behavior. And the ideals that I had written about were guides to changing behavior. So, yeah, so anyway, thanks so much.
Thank you, Eileen. Next, we have Justin B. in Washington.
Good morning, everybody. This is Justin B., living in the state of Washington and in the state of recovery. What a miracle that is. I'm grateful for this topic today. The phrase that jumps out at me in this process is, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. And, you know, in step nine, that's what I'm doing. It's the focus. I mean, in the end of the step three prayer, the focus starts going outward, you know, to that I may be of service to others, to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. But I jump into action with others in step nine. And the visual that comes to my mind as I see, as I think of this phrase and that action, is like a, it's kind of a violent scene, but it's love, an atomic bomb of love. You know, you got this giant column up of hearts, and then it mushrooms out, up and out, loving God, loving others, serving God, serving others. And I see that, you know, if it's just about me, it's down and in. I'm just looking at my navel. It's, you know, what will I get out of making these amends? And that was referenced earlier, you know, the expectations. That's not what this is about for me. It's got to be about how can I be of maximum service to others and make things right so that up and out mushroom cloud can be of maximum effectiveness, maximum use to my higher power and for others. Down and in, bad. Up and out, good. Anyway, that's my experience, my strength, and my hope. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Justin. Elaine G. in New York, you're up.
Hi, this is Elaine G. from New York. We're on paragraph, first paragraph, right? The 77?
Yes, we started on the third line down. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves.
Oh, okay. I realize that if I don't work the program, there is no purpose. Purpose of my life, and I could say all I want that I won't do it again. You know, I had mentioned the paragraph, and you know, like same type of thinking I had before I came to program. But I really have to get myself a sponsor, you know, and so I work in these steps and tools in the program, and doing service, this I do a lot of, and can't just do a little bit, can't do it, can't do half measures, you gotta do it all, you know, or else it doesn't matter too much. But anyway, that's it for me, okay?
Thank you, Elaine G. Next, we have Zach A. Star one, please.
Hey, this is Zach A. I am a grateful, recovering compulsive overeater in Utah. And any time I make something into my higher power, other than my higher power, that's when I get into trouble. And so I've realized I can make trying to work the steps perfectly into my higher power. And that includes trying to do an amends perfectly. And so I love this paragraph because it demolishes perfectionism. It says this is not an end in itself. If this were an end in itself, then the goal would be to do everything exactly right. And then that would prove that I'm this amazing, perfect person. And that's really just my self-seeking, trying to use outside, external things to prove my value as a human being. If I can acknowledge that I'm a worthwhile human being regardless, but that, yeah, I've made some mistakes and done things that have hurt others, but that doesn't make me less of a person, right? Then when I go to do my amends, my motivation will not be secretly to prove that I'm good enough. It will just be to be of maximum service to that person. And I also love the word fit, because I try to change circumstances. My eating is a mood alteration. I try to change the fabric of reality. And I think if I can just make things just perfect, I'm the actor wanting to run the whole show, if everyone else would just like me and love me, and if I can just control what other people think about me, then everything will be great. But that's not the point. The point is, I'm the one that needs to change. I'm the one that needs to fit myself to whatever situation life is. Rather than trying to change life to follow my script, I need to change me to follow whatever God wants me to learn from the experiences around me, and then I can be of service to others. So I love the Serenity Prayer, the version that says, God grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, courage to change the people I can, and the wisdom to know that it's me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you. Hold on, sorry. Okay, thank you so much, Zach. Excuse me. And now we could take some more people's names. First name, last initial, please.
Katie M. from Nebraska.
Katie M.
Liz A.
Liz A. Thank you for going slowly. Katie M. Liz A. Okay, Katie, you're up.
Good morning, Katie M., compulsive overeater from Nebraska. I'm thankful to be on this meeting today. I have been coming to vision meetings for, over a decade, and I've never shared. So I figure now is as good a time as ever to share. So yesterday, it's funny, my higher power brought this line of the big book to my mind. And of course, the meeting would have this line, to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and others. In the reading, I feel like God is showing me more and more like how he is in even the readings of the meetings I go to. The context in which I was thinking about this yesterday was that I came into program and, still do to some extent, with so many vulnerabilities and weaknesses. Like, I thought I just was like a walking liability. And it seems like as I work the steps, God is transforming those vulnerabilities and those weaknesses into my biggest assets. And these steps seem to reverse engineer our weaknesses and sort of reverses the pecking order of the world. And gosh, that just gives me so much hope. Along with the fact that, in active addiction, I knew the elevator was going down day by day. Like, I knew, tomorrow will be worse than today. Like, I could just feel it and there was no way out. And I also was thinking yesterday, just, oh my gosh, like, I have hope. I have hope in that I may not get it right 100% of the time, but I have a path that I can follow, and I know that tomorrow will be better than today as long as I stay on the path. And also, this path for me, I'm learning more and more, is about just course correcting and making small adjustments. And, my experiences now are not just random and living my life. They are turning into training opportunities to be of service more and more. And I feel like God is showing me that I can choose to make each experience that I go through just on a day-to-day basis an opportunity to learn more about myself, to change how I am and change my character and get rid of any defects that might be standing in the way. And when I do that, I can avoid guilting and shaming myself, and I can make those adjustments, not necessarily, you know, hitting bottom and making these huge overhauls in my life and huge resolutions.
Gentle reminder.
It has to change. Thank you. I'll finish up. But I can make the small little corrections that I can make to stay on the path. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Katie M. Next, we have Liz A. And where are you from, Liz?
Hi, Liz A. I'm from Los Angeles. And thank you for everyone doing service at this meeting. What struck me was the last couple of sentences in this paragraph. Our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set the wrong. He's going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries. And, you know, when I made amends to my mom several times, actually, in my years of 12 steps, and they never took, you know, it just, the relationship just was not going right. And this last time I asked my mom, how can I make this right, you know, based on, you know, something my sponsor had said to me. And my mom said to me, well, you'd have to change your entire personality. And the miracle was I did not react to that. I don't bring myself in. I don't talk about myself. When I make amends, it's all about what I did to them and my desire to set it right. And what I realized is all the wrongs I had done, you know, were not going to be erased by my saying I'm sorry and I want to make it right. What I needed to do was make living amends and show this demonstration is to show with action, you know, living amends, show her with actions that I was willing to change my behaviors to make it right. And, you know, even though it talks about, you know, our talk of spiritual discoveries and not bringing God in, I take it even wider for myself. And it's like, I just don't talk about, like, I don't give an excuse for why I behaved the way I behaved. And I don't talk about anything that excuses my behavior in any way. And just make it about them, because otherwise I'm going to push buttons in someone and they're going to be nasty. And that'll just start the whole process again. So even though, you know, she hurt me deeply when she said that, I did not react. I just, you know, in my head, I thought, this is a sick woman. How can I best be of service? And so that's what has worked. And this demonstration that I've been living for the last couple of years has really made a huge difference. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz A. from California. Okay, we have time for like maybe three more people who would like to share. Star one, please.
Deb E.
Donna W. We got room for one more.
Dvorah
Kim
G. from
I heard Dvorah somebody.
Dolores P. from Arizona.
Dolores P. Okay, great. And who is after you in case we have some time?
Kim B.
Kim?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's see. Donna W., I believe. No, Deb E., I believe you were first.
Sorry, I was unmuting. Did you call me? It's Deb E.
Yeah, Deb E., yes. Where are you from, please?
Okay. Sorry. Oh, from Israel. So, hi, I'm Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And my mind just keeps going back to the words maximum service to God and the people about us. And I've always mostly thought about how I can be in service within program. You know, how I can be of service to a newcomer, how can I be of service to my OA fellows. But I don't always think about it in terms of, like, how to be. It says the people about us. And every so often I think to myself, like, sometimes I focus so much on service being within program that I forget about people outside of program in my life that I could really be of service to and who could use a reach out call, you know, that's unrelated to 12-step work. I mean, it's related in that my desire to do it comes from the desire to be of service, but it's interesting for me, service is one of those things. It's one of the, you know, main principles of our program that I actually did learn as a child. And I did have that modeled for me that I'm really grateful for. So it never felt like this strange thing to be of service. Even though there was no spirituality around it, that basic idea of being of service was ingrained in me at a young age. And yeah, I find it's like, it's easier for me to be of service within the protection and confines of OA. But sometimes being of service with, you know, some family members who I don't feel like it's as easy to be of service to is a real challenge. And for me, that's where I really have to, like, that's where I really test myself out and see if I'm really living the principles of this program, if I'm willing to extend it to people that it's not as easy to extend it to or who won't understand the same because they're not in program. And I do a lot of, like, living amends work because I work the steps over and over. Like, a lot of stuff that comes up is living amends, like changing my behavior and trying to, like, improve my relationships with people around me. And I've had those experiences that a lot of people talk about, how it's, like, amazing, like, the other person doesn't change at all, we change, and then it's amazing, like, what happens, you know. And recently I've had a situation with a family member, and I'm pretty sure I feel like I didn't change anything. Everything's much better. I feel like the other person deserves all the credit. But when I really think about it, it's a very subtle thing I changed. And that has to do with the energy I bring to the conversations we have. And when that energy is based in fear, or there's control, or there's worry, like any of my character defects kind of leading me, they don't go so well. But with this example, I feel like I didn't have to change. Well, it takes a big effort, but it's like this subtle change. And then it's this huge change that comes about. I hope that made sense to somebody other than me. But I'll pass with that. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Can I be heard now? Yes. Okay. Donna W.?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Donna W. calling in from California. So grateful for my abstinence and my recovery and all the service on the line today. And yeah, I think it's good to see that distinction around we fit ourselves to be of maximum service. I'll have to meditate to see what that really means for me. And then, you know, the main thing about doing amends is they're all way easier than I expected. I mean, I got maybe a little pushback from just a couple. One of them, I made amends to my sister, and she was like, was that it? but that was like the worst I got. And then, you know, working with my sponsor, the main thing is to keep it really simple, you know? And so it was much easier to get through the amends. And then now I live a life where I make amends very quickly. I don't want to carry any of that. So I make my amends quickly, or I take actions where I'm not going to have to make amends. You know, I think about that now, like, am I going to have to make an amend for this? I don't want to do an amend, so I'm going to make sure I take the right action now. And so I'm really grateful to do that. And then in my work, I'm self-employed, I have clients, and you know, I'm just praying to be of maximum service to my clients and pray for God to bring me clients that I can help. So that's seeping into my professional life as well. Thank you, and I pass.
Shit, again.
Hi, this is Dolores T. from Arizona. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Dolores.
Okay, because for some reason something happened on my phone. Gosh, you know, I wanted to say something, but it sounds like someone else did. But I'm going to share anyway because I don't share a lot on the line. When I came into the program, you know, it was kind of decades ago, I was really into self-help books. And I kept thinking, I'm going to find, you know, the answer to my life in one of these books, you know. And I would go to the library and get so excited. Well, that's when everyone went to the library. But I just remembered, and I'm just going to share about this one line, when my sponsor showed me the line, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people around us. And I remember that was so comforting because I finally had a real purpose, you know, and I that stayed with me. And I always have to remember that because I could get all, you know, kind of thinking of all these other things. And it's the very simplicity of what the program is about, but also about how to live. And I guess someone else shared, but I always have to keep in mind the distinction between my real purpose is to fit myself. Because if I'm, you know, close to God, if I'm absent, if I'm doing my things, God will show me where to be of service. I don't have to, it's not, I can't skip over that part and say, I'm going to go be of service, because I might not even know how to serve or who to serve. And God, it's, you know, it's through being close to God and his, you know, intuitive thought that helps me to know how to serve. And so that's all I wanted to share this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Kim B. We have like 2 minutes, Kim.
Hi. Yeah, thank star you. One. This is,
there you go.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, it just takes a second. So, yeah, I'm grateful to be here. And, yeah, I also, I hate to pound this into the ground here, but I do like the fit ourselves part of this reading. Even as I was writing this out in my notebook, I forgot to write down fit ourselves to be a maximum service to God and the people around us. And I think that's so true. And although, you know, sometimes we're told in this program to be selfless, right? And to not be selfish. But I think I need to be self-loving, because I often put myself before others, or I put others before myself as a somewhat codependent person and people-pleasing and perfectionist and blah, blah, blah. So I really like that, this reminder that I need to be fit myself. And the definition of fit, I looked it up real quick, is a state as to be seen ready to do or suffer something. You know, to be sound physically, mentally, and put into a suitable state. I need to be in a suitable state of mind, spiritually, physically, emotionally, before I go out in this world and face people and be in that right spiritually fit mindset. Because if I'm not, if I have any little disturbance, I might not be useful, so to myself or to others or to God especially. And so I really need to make sure I spend time in that prayer and meditation every day. And so, yeah, I just really wanted to say thank you for that reminder. And those little tiny words in this little chip of a book is so amazing. And thank you for all being here. I'll pass. And I'm Kim B. in Wisconsin. Thank you.
Thanks, Kim. Wow, what a great meeting. Thank you, everyone who shared. Excuse me. So let's see. Now we're going to close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Kara L., will you please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater in Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.